forbearance of Haridas Thakur. Now I know forbearance, I will translate the Duldsamkeit. Now I know that many of you are familiar with Haridas Thakur and his life story, his fascinating life story. But I do believe very much that in what I will talk about in this katha, you will discover the lessons of Haridas Thakur for your own life. You will discover what you can learn, and I believe if you can make this discovery in your life, you will have a lot of benefit. And I think that there is a key which we will have today from the life of Haridas Thakur, which will really help you to access deeper levels of your Krishna consciousness. Maybe we need, yes, a sitting arrangement for our Nishvara Hari. For those of you in the internet who don't know him, who doesn't know Munishvara, he is a player of the sita, and he's a musical therapeut, and has also helped a lot to start the kirtan course in Radha Desh, first as a student and then as someone who takes one part of the musical teaching. So he will accompany me today. I really request you to listen very carefully. I really have something very important to share today with all of you, and I hope it will enrich your life in many, many ways. I'm just looking. I might need... No, I have everything here. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutane Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Trinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prajaline Nirvishesha Shunyavani Pashyachari Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Radhika Radhakala Sri Vasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Who's Haridas Thakur? The best way to describe Haridas Thakur is in the words of Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, at the time when he met Haridas Thakur, was an elderly renunciant who lived in Jagannath Puri, and he had observed Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur would chant the whole day, really. There were hardly hours when he did not chant. Srila Prabhupada once described that because he chanted and danced the whole day in ecstatic love of Godhead, he was not aware of the time passing. He chanted throughout the night, he chanted throughout the day, And throughout the next night, and when the morning sun rose, he complained to the sun, "You are out of order. I have not started my chanting, and already you are rising. This is too fast. Let me chant, please." He was so much involved in the chanting that our Gauranga Mahaprabhu made him the main pillar of his movement. Those who have not yet noticed, you are in the Hare Krishna movement. That means you. This is a movement about contacting the Lord through His holy name. How much have you chanted today? How good was your chanting? How much have you danced today in ecstatic love? Ecstatic love. How much have you cried tears of ecstasy today? This is the movement for doing all of that. It's amazing, isn't it? Our Kanupriya is thinking, what? what are these things? No, Kanupriya knows very much. So Sanatana Goswami, of course we cannot imitate Haridas Thakur, don't worry. He once met Haridas Thakur and he said, "Haridas Thakur, who is equal to you? You are one of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore you are the most fortunate. The mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to come and spread the chanting of the holy name. This is the purpose for which he descended as an incarnation. Now, instead of personally doing this, He does this through you. You are the main instrument through which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reaches his goal of spreading the holy name. My dear sir, you are chanting the holy name 300,000 times a day. And you are informing everyone about the importance of chanting." And then Sanatana Goswami spoke about something very important in the life of a devotee. And that is that his insight, what he believes in, must correspond to his outside. His outside and his inside must be the same. I feel this is maybe the greatest problem of modern men and of modern devotees. They are not one. They are not in one piece. But they are all over the place. To bring everything together, my inner convictions, my inner beliefs, my own glowing yes with what I do in life, that is one of the very important missions. And Sanatana Goswami said this. Some behave very well, but they don't care for others. Whereas others preach all the time, but they do not behave properly. You, Haridas, simultaneously perform both of these things. You behave very well by chanting the holy name, by your personal behavior, and you also spread this for the benefit of others. Therefore, you are the guru of the entire world, for you are really the most advanced devotee. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is said, if you want to obtain the mercy of Krishna, beg for the mercy of Haridas Thakur, who is the guru of the whole world. And why is he the guru of the whole world? Because he is the example, the highest example of bringing these two aspects together, our spiritual life and our behavior, our deepest convictions and what we do in the world. It's one dimension. Now there is one necessary qualification if you want to be an authentic person in this life. If you want to live your glowing yes, if there's one qualification which you need if you want to stand firm on the spiritual platform, you will need to develop a little bit of tolerance. The life always throws obstacles at us, to our spiritual life. You need to learn to tolerate this and be forbearant. We all know this. Today I came late because I was tired, so tired, I was sleeping. And Amarananda had already come the second time to wake me up, and I was just so tired. And then Amarananda said, "But you have a meeting." He said this through the closed door, "Meeting, meeting, meeting." And in my heart I felt, I have to tolerate my tiredness now. I have to tolerate this. Although I'm tired, do the right thing. Although you may translate this in other things, although it's difficult, I have to do the right thing. Although people may not like me, I have to do the right thing. Although I am misunderstood, I have to do the right thing. And you have to learn to be tolerant of this. It's very important. If you want to be a spiritual person in this world, which will challenge you day after day, which will try to pull you back on the material platform, you will have to learn to tolerate. One of our devotees is a pilgrim. This devotee has made a pilgrimage, wonderful pilgrimage. And you know, when you are a pilgrim, you have to learn to tolerate the sun. You have to tolerate the heat. You have to tolerate even the stone in the shoe, best as you get it out. But you have to go on to come to your destinations. All of us, my dear devotees, are pilgrims. We have not yet reached the goal. And in order to stay on the path, we have to learn to be tolerant. A mature person who has grown has learned to not react always to his, in Yugoslavia we say, umski. The umski means the mind. Umski, no? The Bhagavatam has this information to all of us. Material life always brings you to discontent. It means dissatisfaction, or in normal English, frustration. In material life, you will always be frustrated. In relationship to fulfilling your desires, in relationship to achieving more and more money. Now, when you are allowing yourself to be discouraged, when you are allowing yourself to be just frustrated, if you are allowing yourself to be just helpless and give up, then your material existence will continue on and on and on and on. You follow what the idea of the Bhagavatam text is? Material existence by its nature causes discontent in regard to fulfilling one's desires and achieving more and more money. This discontent, this dissatisfaction, and this becoming disempowered by it. Oh, it didn't work. Oh, let's go to sleep. It is hopeless. I am hopeless. The world is hopeless. And my chances are hopeless. You must go on. But the Bhagavatam says, but if one who is satisfied by that which is obtained by his own karma, he is fit from liberation from this material existence. If you allow frustration in the face of failure to overpower you, if you allow yourself to give up, then this very frustration will be the cause of your material existence. The Bhagavatam gives us another analogy which I would like to give you. It says, when a pot has a Sprung, that's the German word, Sprung, ein Riss, ja, danke, danke, noch besser. Wir haben hier eine Hochschullehrerin, die weiß wenigstens richtiges Deutsch. Wenn ein Topf ein Riss hat, sorry, I'm in English, please excuse me, if a clay pot has a leak, leaking place, no, what does it, how do we say this? If a clay pot, yes, thank you, if a clay pot has a crack, all the water will go. Can you see this figure?
Yes.
It used to have 3 days ago a huge blister. It comes from such a cracked pot. I had a cracked thermos thing, and I was getting up like this. And I hope this is also open. And it just came on the finger and it was burning me like anything. So if in your life you have a crack, a riss is a better word. Crack sounds really crackpot, you know. But if you have something which frustrates you, some dissatisfaction, some inner frustration, all your spiritual merit will leak out and leave you. You will become an empty person if you allow this discontent and dissatisfaction to go on. You must learn to tolerate and to deal with it wisely. I want to say the verse again. Material existence causes discontent in regard to fulfilling one's desires and achieving more and more money. This is the cause, this discontent or dissatisfaction, for the continuation of material life. Because you will have the desires will go, oh, why didn't it work? Why didn't it work? I want this to work. Oh no, I can't accept that I'm a failure yet. This is the cause for the continuation of material life, which is full of repeated birth and death. But one who is satisfied by that which is obtained by destiny is fit for liberation from this material existence. What do I do when I have a burnt hand? I take shelter in Krishna and continue my life and see how to do some little medication, whatever is possible, and so on. It doesn't mean, I want to say this because I feel already a but, it doesn't mean you don't take care of the problem. Any intelligent person, he doesn't need to be told, take care of the problem, you know. Of course, this is what you do with the buddhi, with the human intelligence. You have got, you have been given the intelligence to do this. But you have to also learn to not be so easily thrown out of your balance. For this tolerance is necessary. And you will be interested to know that according to modern psychology, a person who is mature has a greater tolerance level than an immature person who just reacts to whatever comes. The ability to tolerate is necessary, and this is for growth. And this is seen by modern people that tolerate doesn't mean, I have to say it again because some of my listeners have a wrong understanding of tolerance. It means on one level you go on with your thing, on the other level you use of course the intelligence to see whatever can be done in this. So Bhagavatam also says, when one is dissatisfied, this dissatisfaction acts like sprinkles of water on a fire, which after some time extinguishes it. If you have dissatisfaction in your life, you must do something. It's like a blinking light in your car which tells you something is very wrong here. Beep, 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 beep. You could take a hammer and go, don't disturb me. I want to peacefully drive, and so on. That's what many of us do, you know. They ignore it, suppress it, and so on. No, you should definitely act on it, but you should also learn at the same time to learn to tolerate. It's one of the things which life teaches us. It seems to be a paradox, but you have to bring it together with your maturity. So, Haridas Thakur. Is the example of forbearance. He was born in the family of Muslims, but because he chanted an ecstatic love of Godhead all day and all night, the established Muslim tradition did not accept him. His own community rejected him. And also the Hindus didn't like him. The Hindu Brahmana said, he's a Muslim. The Muslim said, he's a Hindu. He was nowhere at home. A man without a community. Not appreciated. Not supported by anyone. Later only his spiritual potency overruled everything and everyone thought, you are the best. Because he went on. He was forbearing. He was tolerant. He was not discouraged. Haridas Thakur was so absorbed in the chanting of the holy name that one day the Qazi, that's the local magistrate, went to the Muslim ruler, the king, and complained about Haridas. He's a born Muslim and he takes to this Hindu practice. It's a bad example, and we should not allow this to go on, because otherwise other Muslims may also do the same thing. So one day, imagine, the police arrived at the place where Haridas Thakur was chanting, and they put him in chains. Has any one of you ever been put into chains? To me, something like this once happened. I was at the Frankfurt airport. I wanted to fly somewhere. I gave my passport. The person took my passport on the beep 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 instrument. His face became like a stone. He said, moment mal. He dialed his telephone and five policemen came. They grabbed me and I said, I'm overthinking, where are your chains? It was that energy. He said, come with us. I said, I come with you without you needing to grab me, because it really feels so bad. You know, you feel like a criminal. It's really humor, demütigend. I said, I also have my integrity. Don't grab me, please. I come along. And I was brought to the police station. And as it showed up, it was a mistake. I could go to my flight. No problem. I mean, I catched my flight. But that moment of being caught and grabbed, I didn't even have the chains. It was just so frightening, you know. They came to him and they led him to the prison. In that prison, there were mostly political captives. They had been grabbed by the government of that time. They had been locked. And they all had heard that Haridas Thakur, although he was not accepted by any community, was a great, great sadhu. And they all came to the doors and said, ah, we are here, we don't know what our future will bring. Maybe we will be executed. Can you please bless us? Haridas Thakur said, may you stay like this for a long time. This was not the expected blessings. They hoped he would help them to become free from the prison. And they became very frustrated. Haridas said, I didn't mean it like this. I was meaning for your spiritual life. This is most probably the best situation, where you are not diverted with material successes. Now, where you are imprisoned, you can turn to Krishna. I have seen in my life, when I get a little trouble, I really go, oh, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. It is said, the one whom the Lord gives his mercy, he first gives him a difficult situation. And after that, the sweetest rain of nectar comes upon him. If he learns to tolerate, if he doesn't run away, but if he goes through it, still being a loyal devotee to Krishna. Who of you knows these situations where you think everything is lost? But finally, you know, I have no hopes in this material world. And you go, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And afterwards, it seems the sun has risen and now you see a way. Do you know this from your own life? If you don't know it, you have most probably not practiced intensive spiritual life, but lukewarm spiritual life. It happens to everyone. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam about it, which says, those who are especially blessed by me, I give him some trouble so that he turns towards me in all earnestness. And then he gets a shower of mercy. Yasyaham anugrinami harishya tadhanam shanai. The verse is there. And purport is there. For all to read and ponder and meditate about. Do you like black olives? Do you know how an olive which is not by nature black becomes a black olive? It's picked. He is boiled. Sriman olive is boiled. Then he is thrown in cold water after boiling. Then he becomes ein klein bisschen faltig. This root taste of the black olive. Then he is put in the salt solution, Salzlösung, and then he is ready, Sriman black olive, to be offered to Krishna and tastes very nice. Because we are entangled in non-reality and attached to non-reality, we sometimes need to be pulled away and brought to the light. And it's painful at the beginning because our taste is wrong. So Haridas then said to the prisoners, I don't mean to say that you should remain prisoners, but that you forget materialistic sense gratification and chant the names of Hari. This is the meaning of my blessings. And then he gave another bit. Please don't be troubled for a moment. Soon they were all liberated from the prison. But they never forgot that they should remain in the mood of begging for the help of the Lord and not turning their backs to the Lord. Then he was brought before the king, and the king could understand this person is not an ordinary man, he's shining. And he said, you are from a high family. You don't look like a low Hindu. But why have you abandoned your pure native religion? Why? And I find in Haridas Thakur's statement, in my understanding, historically, one of the documents of how Vaishnavism is really an open for interreligious life. It has a significant contribution to modern life where so much fight is going on because of differences in dogmatic or let us say scriptural. Scriptures are right, but interpretations of this is my path and it's different than your path. Haridas Thakur said, my dear king, God is one. It is the same God who's present in every single religion. He is the non-dual absolute truth. It is simply the name that differs. But on the absolute plane, there is absolutely no different. One and the same God sits in the heart of everyone and engages everyone in service. One this way, the other that way. We all worship in a way that inspires us personally to worship. The living being has no independence in such matters. He's dependent on the inspiration which the Lord gives him. Even in our in this room, some of you like more deity worship, others like more chanting, others are saying, no, I like to read the Bhagavatam, I'm a Bhagavat person. Others say, my only connection with spiritual with this tradition is I like to go to holy places. That's how I can relate to all of this. Good. Follow your way. But those of you who have taken initiation should stick to your initiation path and be tolerant to the obstacles which happen on your life. So I will go. The local man became very angry. That's the Khatsi, and he said, "You are talking about one God. You are born in a religious tradition. Follow this tradition. Chant the names of God as they are found in your own religion. Stop practicing the religion of other people. If you don't, you will have to face severe punishment." This was an obstacle. These people were government people. They didn't speak one sentence twice. Everything meant what they said. Severe punishment could go up to death in that time. But Haridas Thakur answered, and this is a famous verse which has been quoted over centuries. He said, "You may cut my body to pieces, and the life may even leave it, but I will never abandon the holy name which my tongue will ever continue to chant." Don't try to imitate Haridas Thakur. Otherwise it's called fanaticism or fundamentalism. Cut my body to pieces. But from this you can learn the commitment and standing erect on the spiritual platform. Dass man aufrecht stehen bleibt in seiner spiritual Praxis, selbst wenn der Wind bläst. The king said to the Qazi, "What should we do with this animal?" The Qazi said, "Beat him in 22 markets." That means Indian streets. You know, there's a Loi Bazaar, there's a Gopinath Bazaar. This is all a market. No, it means 22 streets. I have often spoken about this nature of mind to go into details. I want to spare you. This beating with cane is a favorite punishment I was in the Russian army, and those who were beaten would have to be carried afterwards to the military hospital, where they where the flesh of their skin came off. They had one more day to live, and then they died. This is the punishment which was meted out, which was prescribed. It's a very painful death. Very, very painful death. It doesn't, it's a slow death. Because you're soft-hearted Vaishnavas, I will not describe to you in detail, but if I but I feel, because you need to be awakened, maybe I should tell you just one detail so that you, that maybe five of you faint. What do you want to hear this? It is so bad. This is not just some scriptural information. It's torture of a saint which is happening here. Oh yes, 22 marketplace, 500 years ago, doesn't touch me at all. It's too far away from my own present. We become cold-hearted when we feel people are distant to us. This is Syria. It's a different place. We become cold-hearted when the culture in which people are is just too different. We can't deal with this. And we become cold-hearted if an event is long back in the past. Then our empathy, our ability to feel the suffering of others, is blocked. But maybe I shouldn't say it. Haridas Thakur went through this beating in a way which only the greatest saint can do, who's on the highest spiritual level. He chanted the holy name. Finally, the guard said, "You are not a human being. You smile at us while we beat you. Please give us your mercy. We will face severe problems." These were two types of problems. One is, we have beaten a saint. There will be bad reactions for us. The second is, the king will kill us in your stead. Solve our dilemma. Haridas Thakur said, "I'm sorry I made difficulties for you." And he just went down. He went down in an ecstatic trance. This is how he could save his executors. They asked the king, "Finally he's down on the ground. What should be done?" The king said, "Bury him like a Muslim." But the Qazi said, "No, that would be too good for him, to give him the honor of being a Muslim. Let's burn him." Then the Brahmana said, "No, no, no, he's not a Hindu. Hindus are born, are cremated, but he is not like this. We don't accept him as a part of our community." So then they said, "Let's throw him like garbage into the Ganga." It sounds bad for the environmentalists, but these were bad people, you know. Like garbage, he should be thrown into the Ganga. When the people came to lift him up, they couldn't do this because Krishna had entered into his body and it became very heavy. There are stories in Bhagavatam how people in trance, how their bodies react differently. To just end this part, and then become very practical and bring the distant thing to us home, I would like to say, to explain to you why Haridas Thakur was not affected. In the 10th chapter of the Matya Kanda of Chaitanya Bhagavat, we find a narration where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls different devotees to come forward, just be before him, be with him. So there was a large gathering, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Haridas, come forward. Haridas came forward into the presence of the Lord, and he said, Haridas, when you were attacked by those demons and beaten, I was there with my discourse, ready to save you, but I couldn't do anything because through all this time you prayed, save them, please save them. Their reaction is so bad. Save them. And I was powerless. At that time, there was no other possibility for me than to personally take the beatings. And then he turned around, and on his back, everyone could see the marks of the sticks. And a moment there was blood. Then it disappeared. In this way, the Lord showed, I have personally taken on the beating on my own self. Haridas at that time fainted. There was too much. He wanted to serve the Lord. What I personally take out of this is, when you are attacked, never think of revenge. Never think of wishing bad to the one who attacks. If you cannot pray for him because you feel so disturbed in your heart, at least you should say, my Lord, there's a misunderstanding, but please let this not end bad for that person. I think it is what Haridas Thakur teaches us. And in this way, by ignoring what is done towards you and wishing well to those, you stand stable on the spiritual platform. I need to say, in this modern context, of course, when someone makes an allegation against you, you should be willing to look into it and correct what needs to be corrected. I'm not speaking about this part, but I'm speaking about not reacting and revengeful, because then you are entangled with that person in some way. Later, Haridas Thakur's greatness was seen by the Brahmanas, and they asked him, why did you have to suffer like this? What is your explanation? Do you want to know what Haridas said?
Yes.
He said, I have heard too many aparadas against devotees, and therefore this is the reaction. Don't try to imitate Haridas Thakur. It wouldn't be authentic. For a few more for the time which we have, I would like to give something more practical with you, to you. That ability to tolerate and be forbearant. Forbearant means really you go on, really. Especially when you are not yet in pure Krishna consciousness, there will be difficulties with life, which life throws at you. And some of them have really a good reason, but it's sometimes hard. Prabhupada gave an analogy once, which those of you who lived some time at an ocean will understand easy, but please try to understand. It said, he said, when you row your boat to come in the midst of the peaceful ocean, you will first have to go through the surf, which always tries to throw you back. The surf in German is die Brandung. One wave after the other comes. So sometimes in life, when you want to really go to a higher spiritual position, you may face the surf, the Brandung of material existence. And I can see a few of you where I have seen that, one thing after the other, one thing, and it seemed they never moved forward. But then, all of us, at one stage, if you are forbearant, you just pass through the surf, and then it's peaceful sailing or peaceful rowing, so to say. This was the analogy which Srila Prabhupada gave on forbearance. You have to forbear. When I was a little boy, I could not be controlled by anyone. This only stopped when I accepted Prabhupada, then I became better with this. But I remember I was once building my own boat because I wanted to go to the ocean, free ocean. I lived on an island, Fehmarn, and I remember I tried to first, it was just it was with straw, something, not straw, wie sagt man, reed, sagt man in Deutsch. It's reed. And I was going against the surf and then, and trying to go through the surf before anyone found me, you know. But luckily, by Krishna's mercy, I was not successful. I was thrown back always. And then some farmer came and saw this little boy furiously trying to get on the open sea and sinking, of course, because this is not a good boat, you know. And he just said, come back. And no. And somehow, by Krishna's mercy, I don't know if they came to get me or if they threatened to get me by getting a rope around. Yes, I remember he got a rope and his son who was a swimmer and they wanted to catch me and then I gave up and I was put back. I remember this example very much. Oh, Krishna. Krishna saved me a few times in my life. So, yes. Forbearance, tolerating obstacles which come your way. The Bhagavatam says the devotee must remain peaceful when he is attacked by all sorts of obstacles, just like a mountain remains firm in the monsoon season when the waters just clash down on him. The mountain doesn't shake and said, let's go to Karstadt or to a hotel and you know, let's give up my, or let's go under where the water doesn't get me. The mountain remains firm. And when the mountain remains firm, this monsoon-like storm will wash him clean. When a devotee remains firm in the face of obstacles, he will be washed clean from his pride and he will become a humble Vaishnava. Have you ever noticed that? It's good for you in some sense. You will become free from that pride. But what does the devotee do when so much is happening? The Bhagavatam says, Mat ashaya katamrishta shrinvanti katayanti cha tapanti vividastapa naitan matkata cetasaha. When miseries come, the devotee takes shelter of me. The devotees engage in constantly hearing and chanting about me. The various kinds of material miseries do not affect my devotees because they are filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. When the difficulties come, and it will come, where do you take shelter? In material arrangements, maybe? In solving it on your level? Although this is not entirely, I mean, you have to also act, but take shelter in Krishna. Chant and hear about Krishna. And then the various kinds of material miseries do not affect one because one is filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. It really works. Gadara once commented about me. Oh, Satchinanda Swami, he said, you have an ability to tolerate pain. No, I'm so sensitive. Even if a little needle comes, a needle prick, so, and if it's a little cold, you know, I go, I'm so sensitive, really. But I have seen personally in my life, even in heavy pain, like after a surgery, and I had a few surgeries, if you really fill your mind up with Krishna, it doesn't matter so much. It's mystical. And the Lord says this here, it's from the third canto of the Bhagavatam. When they take shelter in me and engage in hearing and chanting about me, at that time the various kinds of material miseries do not affect such devotees because they are filled with thoughts of Krishna. Some of us, when the difficulties come, they go to sleep. Let me sleep, it's too much to handle. When the normal people from my town, not devotees, when they get miseries, they go to the pub and drink. Every evening some people drink to tolerate it. But that's not taking care of the pain, you know, that's a diversion. You know, fill your heart with Krishna. How does this sound? Wonderful. Correct or not incorrect? Who will say incorrect? But my dear devotees, this is not impractical. No, this was 1,000 years ago. It was relevant. Now we have painkillers. My preferred painkiller is the movie. When I get another idea in my mind than the pain. My preferred painkiller is to dass ich mich mal reichlich belohne, you know, that I reward myself very nicely, you know, and whatever that means is a matter of interpretation, personal interpretation, and so on. Fill your heart with Krishna. Take shelter in Krishna. Ishan, it works. It is not impractical philosophical talk. Please try it. Please try it. It will be better. It will be better. It is better. Hare Krishna. Haridas Thakur is our best example in taking shelter in Krishna. Moments before, only days before his physical death, he was lying down, and Mahaprabhu had heard from his servant Govinda that Haridas Thakur, it looked as if his last days would come. It looked as if he would never get up again from that Krankenlager, we say, that bed. We all have one bed from which we will never get up again, or mattress. Or hopefully the dust of Vrindavan. hopefully. But there is already a place for you. Just think about this, from where you will never get up. What do you think about this? It's an interesting concept, no? But it's true also. Abharananda, now you are Mr. Sportsman. You can drive with a mountain bike down Mount Everest and nothing will happen to you if you have your special hairdress on, you know, the bicycle hair. But there is a place. I'm joking. He doesn't do that. But there is a last bed for every one of us. Hare Krishna. And you will be alone in that last bed. What I mean is, you will see no one can help me any longer. It's not nice to die. It's not always easy to die. Because, you see life in a different way on the deathbed. Many say, oh! They have their final, they have a lot of enlightenment there. Because it changes the perspective. So when he was just about to depart, one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited him and said, Haridas, are you well? With great effort, somehow Haridas pulled himself up and offered obeisances to the Lord. And he replied, cry, it's so touching. He said, my body is all right, but my mind and intelligence is not well. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why is it not well? What is the problem with the mind and intelligence? Haridas replied, my disease is that I cannot complete my rounds. Because this is such a statement, I would like to read to you how Srila Prabhupada comments on this statement. I think this will act as a strong motivator, this comment. If one cannot complete the fixed number of rounds he is assigned, he should be considered to be in a diseased condition of spiritual life, not material life, spiritual life. There's a difference between, it can be a difference. It's good if it's one. Srila Haridas Thakur is called Namacharya. Of course we cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. like who chanted 300,000 names. But everyone must chant the prescribed amount of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have fixed 16 rounds as the minimum, so that the Westerners will not feel burdened. These 16 rounds must be chanted, and chanted loudly, so that one can hear himself and others. This is how Prabhupada purports Haridas Thakur's idea of being forbearant, of going on, of persisting and standing erect on the spiritual platform even in the face of obstacles. And forbearance, I think we all know. I know from giving japa retreats all over the world that the majority of those who come to my japa retreats, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I don't know majority, but a large percentage, this I know for sure, come because they have difficulties to complete their fixed number of rounds. I know this because I'm giving so many retreats, and in confidential discussions I ask, why are you here? And they say, Maharaj, don't say it to... and I'm not breaking my confidence, I'm not telling any names now. No? They say, we have difficulty to be spiritually integral. We cannot keep our promises. They will say like this. What to do at this stage? I would say it starts first of all with the recognizing that he is something which needs to be addressed in my life. And if it is difficult for you to understand this needs to be addressed in your life, then I would suggest read more, go to spiritual sanghas, associations, so that you see the value of spiritual life by seeing those who are well established in their spiritual life and see how they are happy. You need to find good devotees, in other words. Then you will feel some motivation that I should also go this path. Then the next stage is when you feel you when you begin to understand I want to go there. That is the first of all important. You need to have a desire to go there. Prescription will work for some time, but not for long time, if you don't sincerely yearn for your spiritual life and your relationship with Krishna. That you must start there. I want this spiritual life more than anything else. If that is not there, you will most probably not find it easy to come back to your own standard. You will most probably find it difficult. It should be easy for you. I'm talking of to make it easy. No? Then, after some time, I would recommend to you to take some time with the holy name. It's some quality time. It's just like I always do when I feel a relationship which is important is becoming a little, something is in between there which shouldn't be there. And I suffer from it and the other person suffers from it. Then it's good to make some time and establish the relationship again. Take some time out. No time limitations until you feel the connect is again there. So it's the same with the holy name. You need to maybe take some time out, some time when nothing is on your mind, and connect again, that you feel the connection and it enlivens you. And then go back to your stand up by first doing something you can easily manage, maybe 4 rounds, then next month 5 rounds, then next month or after half a year if you are a little slow, 6, 8, and then state with this. It's very important. Really, it's important. It's not unimportant. This is at least on a day when we speak about Namacharya, Haridas, Thakur, we have to talk about this. I think you understand that a discussion about Haridas, Thakur is incomplete without mentioning a vow to chant the holy name or a fixed determination. And if it's difficult for you, what is done, you can have a picture of Haridas on your altar and pray to him. Haridas is full of kindness to all beings. He is the helper of everyone. He's absolutely free from aparat to Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. And not even in a dream he looks on the path which leads away from Krishna. Anyone who has only the slightest bit of contact with Haridas will necessarily come to the lotus feet of Krishna. On many altars in our movement, Haridas Thakur has magically made his appearance. And devotees, but some have also put him there, just, yes, I'm also in, I'm also on this wave of fashion, must be there. But those who have prayed to Haridas Thakur for help, they very quickly got the help they needed in this crucial, crucial moment of their spiritual life, where they need to have a contact to the essential things in life and leave the unessential at a safe distance. Please all now chant with me. Jaya Jaya Haridasa.
Jaya Jaya Haridasa.
Haridas
Thakur. Haridas
Thakur. Jaya Jaya Haridas.
Jaya Jaya Haridas.
Haridas Thakur.
Haridas Thakur.
Shila Haridas Thakur ki
jai.
Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna. And now we need to see what is the time, please. Has anyone a time?
24 past 8.
I'm sorry?
24 past 8.
24 past 8. We have 6 more minutes. Success. I'm usually a little bit too overtime. And so on. Who has a question to all this? Muniraj, du hast ein. Sorry, ich habe eine Diskussion. Übersetzung. Ja, ja. Macht er das gut, die Übersetzung?
Ja?
Ja, er ist in vielen Dingen der Beste. Ja, someone has a question? Yes, Nitai Prasad.
Ah, you gave many examples about tolerating something like material obstacles coming at us and just accepting it. What, maybe you answered already, but I keep thinking, when we have spiritual obstacles, like, yeah, we cannot do our sadhana good enough, we just should tolerate and okay, that is the level I'm on. Let me just work however I work and see where we go.
Mm-hmm.
Or then also become, like you said, this crack in the heart, always lamenting or discouraged about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's everything, huh? Also the spiritual.
Thank you so much. The question for our Let me ask Anandavara, what do you think? Could the devotees hear acoustically? Let me summarize. What about spiritual obstacles? Should we also tolerate them? First of all, there are no spiritual obstacles. There are obstacles to spiritual practice. That's different. You may say, but other devotees who steal time from me, aren't they spiritual? Well, they are, but that obstacle is a problem of time management, you know, how much time you spend and so on. The second point is about tolerating. What I meant with my definition or the spiritual definition of tolerance is not just acceptance. Oh, to be okay. Tolerance means to go on. The example is one should be more tolerant than the tree. You know, he's cut, so many things are going on, but he remains a tree. He means standing there. He remains in his position as much as possible, you know. So the idea of forbearance, maybe that's a better word also. It's not just docile, tolerant, like the donkey who is beaten and he stands there until he dies and falls down, you know. No, it's about going on in the face of obstacles, or like the mountain, staying where he is, even though the rainstorms, apocalyptic rainstorms, fall over him. You know? Many great saints have given examples of this, which we cannot, of course, imitate. And Christianity is Jesus, you know. You don't want to even think what he went through, you know. Many saints which are in Islam, there are examples of this, how they go on and so on. Don't give up in the face of obstacles. I would like to end. Thank you very much, Nitai Prasad. I would like to end this katha with a little kirtan. Just a little kirtan. I have to say this to our guests. If you feel after some time, guests means internet guests, if you feel you wish to do other things because you reserved only up till 8:30 for this, you can do this. But I will, just to complete it, 5 minutes we will do. Who is a multi-talent on the harmonium?
Muniraj.
Good. Wir holen dir deinen Übersetzer, deinen Star-Übersetzer weg. Was ist unsere bevorzugte Melodie nochmal?
Ja.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Können wir ein bisschen höher sogar? Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Vielen Dank. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.